Rolling across the world on the rails, you get to see it as you travel, an irreplaceable experience more than a century and a half old.
My name is Brian Gilchrist from Lincoln City, Oregon. My fondest memory of being on a train is at 17 years old, backpacking through Europe, in Greece, traveling to Athens with some friends from France and Italy, being taught how to say I love you in Greek by a couple women in their early 30s. Oh, and we were drinking little bottles of ouzo as well.
There's The Murder on the Orient Express, an anthology for travelers on the Trans-Siberian Railroad. Henry Kaiser wrote a book about crossing America on the California Zephyr.
It was very adventurous because they accidentally took the wrong track and started sending us to Florida. We weren't in a hurry, so it wasn't a problem. And it allowed us to see more of the countryside and just made it kind of an adventure. By far our best trip, and I would recommend it to anyone.
Thank you, Kenzie from Salt Lake City. And from Florida, I vividly remember an Amtrak trip from Atlanta to San Francisco in 2000. The memory lingers because of the colorful characters I met along the way. From the Air Force recruit who disembarked in the middle of the night at the Texas base to later serve in the Iraq War, to the couple that met and left the train together. Along the way, we hit a deer, a fruit truck, and even appeared to be moving backwards at night. And then San Antonio, Texas, can't forget 1974. From San Antonio to Mexico City, train ran out of water, so only beer was available. I was 9 years old. Later on the program, we'll talk with two brand new writers in residence working for Amtrak. What stories will we find? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE and be a part of the conversation, or at facebook.com/thetakeaway. Lord, says Jimmy. Here's a memorable railway story from one of you from Gloucester, Mass. Christmas Eve, coming home from a visit gone bad with friends with whom we were supposed to have spent the holiday. My daughter was three. We had a little sleeper compartment. The Pullman porter hid her gifts for me and delivered them at dawn with a story of how Santa had landed the sleigh on top of the train. Santa with an electric guitar. Wow, great stories from memorable train rides. Train rides do lend themselves to stories. Stories powerful enough to erase a bad holiday visit with family or friends. Amtrak has really picked up on this idea. The passenger rail service has started a writer-in-residence program dedicated to the idea that you encounter great stories on trains, and at the very least, you get some writing done on a relaxed cross-country rail ride. There are about two dozen Amtrak writers in residence, some journalists, a former CIA agent, a poet who's also a Broadway actor, two movie critics, two tech writers, a screenwriter, four award-winning novelists, a couple of professors, and two of our good friends, Farai Chidea, host and producer of the podcast One with Farai, and Marco Werman, host of PRI's The World. Marco and Farai, welcome.
Thanks, John. Thanks.
Did you apply for this gig?
Absolutely.
Marco?
Yeah, it was. I heard about this writer residency, I think, on Twitter. Somebody tweeted about it, and I thought, 5 days on Amtrak? I'll try that. So, yeah, it's a very brief application process, the second round, and then we found out a couple of days ago, right, Farai?
Absolutely.
So what you get is, Farai, tell us again?
Well, you get a round trip on a long-distance train. It can be cross-country. It can be north-south. It can be diagonal. I think I'm going to go diagonal from New Orleans to L.A. So one
nice.
Of the long-haul scenic routes.
Is there a name of that train?
Sunset Limited.
Sunset Limited. Farai Chidea on the Sunset Limited.
It's pretty extraordinary. I was kind of like, oh, well, you get on a train and then you go somewhere. But if you start looking at the Amtrak routes, and this isn't a plug for Amtrak, but it's pretty amazing. The California Zephyr, which starts in Chicago and goes to Denver and on to Emeryville in San Francisco. The city of New Orleans from Chicago down to Memphis and on to New Orleans. I mean, how cool would that be? Just get your own sleeper berth and, you know, sit there and stare out the window and write. So that's why I signed up.
So, Marco, do you think we should hire some blues musicians to come with us just to keep things...
Definitely to play that Jimi Hendrix song, yeah.
So Farai's going to do the Sunset Limited. Marco, have you picked your route?
I haven't, but I am kind of thinking about, taking the Texas Eagle, which starts in Chicago, goes down to St. Louis and Dallas and San Antonio, and then on to Los Angeles. And, thinking of ways to fold in kind of the brief of the world into this trip and kind of looking at the world in my own backyard and maybe making a few stops and meeting some people and tell those stories.
Well, you're such a dutiful host, Marco. Just ditch the world. Do like an acid novel or something. You know?
All right.
Great.
Note taken.
Yeah.
Does anybody know how Amtrak got this idea?
Well, yeah, there were a couple of writers. One of them, his last name is Chi, and I think it's Alexander. Do I have that right?
No, that's right.
Yeah. So Alexander Chi was talking about how there should be some kind of a writer's residency. And then another writer picked that up and started tweeting it, and Amtrak tweeted back at her. And so these two writers basically inspired Amtrak to actually ante up and make room for 24 freeloaders.
And say you get freeloaded, hobos.
Yeah. Right.
And Chi was saying that this is the favorite place for writing.
It's a great place.
Like it is for many writers. I mean, you take the train, right?
I do, especially on the East Coast, and I'm excited to take it somewhere else than the East Coast. I mean, I've been a very dedicated East Coast train rider from Florida to Boston, but not really other parts of the country.
Marco, what are you looking forward to on that north-south route if you decide to take it? And again, we're not committing you to that at this point.
I mean, I'm thinking not just the train and being on the train and trying to meet people, because I like meeting people and like writing about them and, you know, finding characters. But, you know, getting off the train and kind of threading the kind of life of the train into the life of these stations and kind of the world around those stations. I don't know if that's going to be possible, but that's kind of what I'm aiming to do. I mean, one of my favorite train trips ever was in West Africa from Abidjan, Ivory Coast, up to Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso. And it takes, you know, a good 24 to 36 hours, depending on, you know, how many stops it makes and how long they stand there. But, you know, I met a guy who ended up by being a great source for me once I ended up living in Ouagadougou. And you know, it's a very different life on trains in pretty much every country you go to, other than the United States. But there's this kind of community that forms everywhere in the car that you're in. I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm hearing a weaving of that Burkina Faso trip and maybe the U.S. trip there, Marco. Not to give you any ideas or to, you know, give you any bad ideas, which I'm always happy to do.
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it.
That sounds good. Fry, what about you? Project?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to do this, what I'm going to do, you know, in terms of like the venue. I do some travel writing for the New York Times, but the Sunset, basically starting in the early 1900s, there was a lot of immigration from New Orleans to Los Angeles, in part because of a flood that destroyed some of the historic black neighborhoods. But there's just a strong tie between New Orleans and L.A., and I think there might be a piece in that or maybe a mini doc. Who knows?
You know, New Orleans, a lot of people don't know this in American history. It has been a kind of Ellis Island for immigration for hundreds of years. Going back to the 1600s, people landed first in New Orleans and then moved off into the continent. That is absolutely a great, great story. I love what you're talking about, Marco, with the stations. I think the stations are a great story. That's even true in Europe. The Orient Express stations, the Para Palace is the old hotel in Istanbul. There are hotels in Vienna and all through Europe that are associated with the Orient Express. But now that the Orient Express isn't that big of a deal anymore, I think the stations in the U.S. would be a great story, a sociological story, don't you think, Fry?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of these long-haul trains go through places that are part of the shrinking heartland in terms of population, and to get off in some of the less explored places would be really fascinating.
Let's talk about the food before we go, Marco. Are you worried or are you enthusiastic?
You know, my experience with food on Amtrak is the bar car between Boston and New York. It's not, you know, it's potato chips and pre-made sandwiches and a hot dog. Maybe I'll bring my own. I'm expecting that probably the quality of food will be a little higher in the sleeper cars. That's what I'm hoping anyway.
Well, I think the fact that if you even said you're going to bring your own, Amtrak people are already working to try to do something special for you. Fry, how about you?
Oh, you know, it's like I'm just looking forward to the whole experience. I think that for me, just being around people who are taking family vacations or big adventures is exciting. I love seeing other people's joy and their sense of exploration and trying to figure out, oh, is that the grandma of that little kid over there? And, you know, there's just it's a fertile place for the imagination.
When I just had two sets of twins and they were babies, we took two sleepers from New York to Minnesota, and the Amtrak employees were as much a part of the adventure as anything else. It was really, really spectacular. Have fun, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll have to, you know, get a diary from you as you're going. We'll talk to you while you're on the road when you get back. Farai Chadeh, host and producer of the podcast One with Farai. and a writer in residence for Amtrak. Thanks, Vry.
Thank you.
And Marco Werman, host of Public Radio International's The World, of course. Marco, have a great weekend and good luck.
Thank you, John.
Both of them, writers in residence for Amtrak. You're kind of writers in residence for The Takeaway, aren't you? We hear your stories. We get your stories about rail and everything else that's on the program. If you want to respond to Adam Levine, our doctor on the Ebola crisis in West Africa, as many of you have done, please call us at 877-8MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. What a great week. We're at the terminal of the week right now. Thanks so much for riding with us this week. I'm John Hockenberry. Have a great weekend. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.